Before we jump into this exciting text, kids, you're welcome to get out while the getting's good and enjoy your time back there at Children's Church. Pastor Corey mentioned last week that our approach to stewardship and preaching about stewardship is a little bit different than maybe you'd find in other churches. See, some other churches, like this pastor that I'm going to tell you about, they take this attitude towards giving as legalistic, as dictatorial, as something we better do, and sometimes they even use this text from Acts chapter 5 to elicit a fear response. In fact, there's a story of a pastor who got up one Sunday and announced to his congregation, "I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is we have enough money to pay for our new building program. The bad news is it's still out there in your pockets." We're not going to use that approach. But what approach then do we use? After the kingdom of God, Jesus' most popular topic was money. Did you know that? After the kingdom of God and his proclamation thereof, Jesus talked the most about money. There's a connection then with the disciple of Jesus Christ and their money. Last week, Pastor Corey talked about Barnabas, and at the end of chapter 4, the previous verses that now follow, that come before chapter 5, talked about Barnabas as a giver. And today, we're going to juxtapose Barnabas against these two we heard about, Ananias and Sapphira. But before we do, we better pray. Lord God, we are open to hearing your word this day. And God, where we are not open, we pray that you would open us, our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our ears. Open us up, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you this day. Lord, then may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week, Pastor Corey listed three things that evidenced Barnabas as a Christian disciple and giver. Do you remember what those were? They were these. Barnabas was filled with the Holy Spirit. Barnabas recognized possessions, even his possessions, as God's, not his own. And Barnabas understood God's larger purpose for their wealth and resources in the early church. But today, we happen upon two others who are unaware. They are unaware of God's purposes. They are unaware that what has been given them is still God's, and they are unaware of the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 5. There's a pew Bible in front of you if you'd like to reach out for that. You can follow along in your bulletin, Acts chapter 5. Barnabas was said to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But what was Ananias and Sapphira filled with? Did anybody catch this as I read it for us this morning? Look at verse 3 in particular. Ananias brings the offering before God and God's people to Peter. And Peter says to Ananias, "How is it that," you following along, "Satan has so filled your heart?" You see, Ananias is not filled with the power of God through the Holy Spirit, as was Barnabas. But Ananias is filled with what? The power of Satan. Now, Peter is saying these words. Would Peter know of what he speaks? Let me remind you that it was Jesus who said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter knew what it was to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter also knew what it was like to be tempted by Satan and to fall into that temptation. It was like the minister who parked his car in a no parking zone in a large city because he was short of time and he couldn't find a space with a meter. He put a note under the windshield wiper that read, "I've circled the block 10 times. If I don't park here, I'll miss my appointment. Forgive us our trespasses." When he returned, he found a citation from a police officer along with this note, "I've circled this block for 10 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. Lead us not into temptation." Temptation is all around us. And Ananias fell to the power of Satan and temptation. Ananias was not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, nor was his wife Sapphira, as was Barnabas. Number two, Barnabas recognized his possessions as God's possessions. In fact, God had given Barnabas everything. God had given the church everything that they needed. Acts chapter 4 reminds us of this truth. And Pastor Corey spoke last week that Barnabas, even in giving his field that he sold, understood he was only giving back to God what was already God's. What's the issue here with Ananias and Sapphira? Is it that they didn't give God everything? Sometimes we misunderstand this passage as Ananias and Sapphira not giving God everything. But that's not the issue. In fact, Barnabas, as Pastor Corey mentioned last week, sold, do you remember the words? A field. It's possible and even probable that Barnabas owned other fields. It's possible and maybe even probable that Barnabas didn't give everything to the church, but in selling this particular field, he gave it all to God. And so Ananias and Sapphira also sold property. But, verse 2, with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. And then verse 4, when Peter calls him on what's happening, says Peter, didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. And then look forward at verse 8. When Sapphira comes in, Peter is more direct with her and asks her this question. "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" She replied, "Yes, that is the price." But was it? It wasn't. What's happening here, and the reason that Ananias and Sapphira drop dead, and that's not what I'm saying is going to happen to you, but what's happening here, the sin, the temptation to which they succumb, is the sin of lying. They presented this amount, whatever it was, as the wholesale of the property. This is what we got. But they were really holding back from God. If Ananias and Sapphira had brought the proceeds of the sale of the property and said in an honest voice, "This is part of the money. We've kept part back," I don't think there would be an issue here. Because the issue isn't how much they give, but with what heart and spirit. And so clearly, even though Barnabas was filled with the Holy Spirit, Ananias and Sapphira were not. Clearly, even though Barnabas recognized all of his possessions as God's own, Ananias and Sapphira did not. And lastly, and also clearly, even though Barnabas understood God's larger purpose for his possessions and the possessions of the church, Ananias and Sapphira did not. And so they are led into temptation. They allow Satan to use them as tools of destruction, and they hold back and then lie to God. When it comes to giving, your giving, Pastor Corey and I simply want to encourage you to give as a spiritual discipline, as a way to love God back, as a way to give back to God part of what He's already and always and will continually give you. So how does one do this? Let's talk a little bit about this as we conclude this morning. How does one live filled with the Holy Spirit? That's a difficult question, I believe, to answer, and maybe even a difficult question to ask. What does it look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? How does one endeavor to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, as Charles read for us this morning, gives us a good starting point. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, be filled with the Spirit. And the good thing about Paul and his teaching is typically he doesn't stop there. He takes a Jesus-esque approach to teaching. Jesus gives encouragement, and then he talks about the things that we might do to live out what he's encouraging us to live out. And so does Paul. Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. How? Well, in these ways. First, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Wow. Think about this. Think about this for a minute. I think Paul is encouraging us, through the church of Ephesus, to speak to each other with love and God's praise on our lips. Think about some of the conversations you've had this week, maybe in particular from Wednesday to Saturday. Think of some of the conversations you've been privy to on Facebook. By the way, if you're thinking about fasting from Facebook, this is a good time. But think about it. We know we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You can discern by looking at Facebook or talking to people what they're filled with. When people post things that are not loving, that don't have God's praise on their lips, it's clear to see that they're not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. But think about it for a moment. What if we spoke to each other with love and praise of God on our lips? That's how we're filled with the Spirit. Number two, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Don't only speak to one another with love and praise of God on your lips, but praise God yourself from your depths within your heart. Your heart in Jewish thought and in the first century when this was written, your heart is the seat of emotions. Your heart is the depth of who you are. And so from the heart comes praise of God. From our depths, our being, the real us. You see, the real us isn't found in the surface. The real us is found in the depths of our heart. And you can determine if you're living by the power of the Holy Spirit by asking yourself this question, am I praising God? Am I singing? Am I making music to the Lord from my heart? You see, these things aren't hard to do. These things are easily evidenced in our lives. Sometimes we think, well, how do I live by the power of the Holy Spirit? It comes down to love and praise. That's what it comes down to, friends. Love and praise. And a third thing, Paul says, always, read this with me if you're following along, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I haven't seen a whole lot of thankful hearts in the last few days. I've seen angry hearts. I've seen fearful hearts. But I haven't seen thankful hearts. Out of a thankful heart comes the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And so when we're encouraged to give, I would suggest when we are encouraged to live our lives as disciples of Jesus, we ought to do this by speaking to one another love and praise, by praising God out of the depths, out of the heart, the seat of our emotions, and by always giving thanks in all circumstances. Number two, Barnabas lived filled with the Holy Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira did not. Barnabas also lived knowing that all is God's. So how do we do that? Deuteronomy chapter 10. Charles read it for us also this morning. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. Again, a few things we might do to know that God's owner of all things and that everything we own is really a gift from God. You know, my thinking was changed on this a few years ago. As I was talking about my boys to a friend of mine, a spiritual mentor, I said regularly in our conversation, my boys love school, my boys love music, I enjoy hunting with my boys. And he corrected me and he said, you know, Steve, there's an error in your speaking. I said, what is that? He says, your boys aren't yours. You know something I don't? He said, they're God's. Your boys are God's. And God's graciously let you borrow them. Ah, it changed my whole thinking on what's God's and what's mine. And so I can surrender my boys to God because they are his. And how do we do that? Well, according to Deuteronomy, the writer is presumably Moses. He says, first, you need to know that the Lord your God owns the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. We have to have that understanding, that knowledge in our heads that God owns everything, even the things we think we own ourselves. Furthermore, Moses says, fear the Lord your God. You know, in the Lutheran Catechism, how many of you grew up memorizing that? Oh, you lucky dogs. Me too. Remember Luther's explanation of the Apostles' Creed or the Lord's Prayer or any of that? How does that begin? We are to fear and love God that. Does that sound familiar to you? What does this mean? We are to fear and love God that. I'll never forget that part. The rest, I forgot. But that's enough to remember that the fear of God, it's the beginning of all wisdom. We're going to hear about this in a moment. But we are to fear God. And what does that mean? It means that when God is our fear object, that no one else is, that nothing else is. That God is our sole fear object. I would suggest to you, and Pastor Corey has done a lot of work here, and he shared with us about fearing God, that we have one fear object, and that's God and God himself. Number three here, according to Deuteronomy, we are to fear him, and we are to serve him. Serve the Lord your God. That's what we are called to do. And lastly, he is the one you praise. So far, praise has come up twice. We praise God when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We praise God when we have the right attitude towards our possessions, that God owns them all. I wonder if that's going to come up in number three. Are you curious? So let's close then with number three. You see, Barnabas was filled with the Holy Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira were not. Barnabas knew all things were God's. Ananias and Sapphira did not know. And lastly, Barnabas understood God's purposes, broader, longer, greater purposes. Ananias and Sapphira did not. And so how do we understand God's purposes? Psalm 111, I'll encourage you to go there, begins this way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And so fear comes up again. Following God's precepts, that's his commands, his statutes, the things that he would have for us to do. We find those in the law, in the Old Testament, in the prophets. We find them in the Gospels, in the epistles to the churches and to the pastors. And lastly here, Psalm 111, to him belongs eternal praise. When it comes to giving then, when it comes to living life, maybe even more apropos and on our hearts today, when it comes to responding to a presidential election, we have a choice to make. Nobody dictates this choice to us. But by the power of God, we can choose to live filled with the Holy Spirit, no matter what. We can choose to know that all things are God's, not just possessions, but powers, authorities, countries, the marginalized, the sick, the weak, the poor, the orphaned. These are all God's. And lastly, we can have an eternal perspective to know that God's purposes transcends anything we could create in our own minds. Because as Psalm 111 says, and I'll conclude with these words, the fear of the Lord, friends, is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.